And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
This is what it's all about. We do daily podcasts for like 2.5 weeks during training camp.
Well, you got all kinds of time for guests and nonsense.
I will open up a 2-hour block.
Hello, everybody. That's right. It's Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, Marissa Dunn, joined off the top by Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagle Eye in the Sky. You've seen him on the billboards. Repeat guest. Probably maybe the second most repeat guest after Coach Flynn, I might guess.
I mean, Danez has got to have me beat at this point, right? Yeah, I mean, he's probably out of guest label now and has got to be a co-host at this point.
Yeah, he's like a recurring character. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. He's like a... also featuring on the credits in the
of course. I mean, once you make it into the intro, you're set. And clearly,
once you're in the intro, you're not a guest.
Very strange to hear the intro at normal speed and not at my normal, like 1.9 speed that I usually listen to the pod on.
1.9, that's impressive.
I go 1.9, which is intense.
Marissa, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You look like you're in very lovely accommodations.
Yes, that's my last day in Florida, heading back to the cold weather. But enough about me. The chat is all about Zach is glowing this morning.
We got an 8:45.
8:52 a.m. This is right up Zach's alley.
Well, and there's only one person I know who comes close to rivaling Zach in terms of being a morning person, and that's Mr. Duffy. So you guys are both just basking in it.
It's just two football guys, right? No, I do want to say I feel bad. I mean, Marissa is such a good producer that she's on vacation with her husband after the season, and she's here for a quackatology, right? Like that's how.
Where else would I be? I mean,
that's how you know we have the hardest working best producer
in
show business. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I want to see what Rachel's reaction would be. I know what Emily's reaction would be if I'm like, I know we're on this vacation, but I need to do a quackatology. So actually, Emily wouldn't know what a quackatology is.
Michael gets I don't know why you have to denigrate. Set up my shot, like, you know, I'm like making sure that I had no weird lighting behind me. So
I don't know why you have to denigrate quackatology as if it's not just like a good part of the podcast.
It's a great word to use.
What are you trying to do? You're getting ready to gut this podcast?
No, if you're a fan of comedy, Jerry Seinfeld likes to say that there are certain words that when you say them, they add to your bit. And I think quackatology really reinforces a point.
Jerry Seinfeld, famously into quackatology. You didn't like my gut reference. Your boy, Jonathan Gannon, finally becoming a Philadelphia fan favorite. All it took was...
As if one of the top defenses in the NFL and the franchise record in sacks didn't do it. All he needs to do is curse before a playoff game, and he's beloved in Philadelphia. So that's the script. If he did it while wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey,
department should have told him that before, that all he had to do was do something like that, and he would be loved.
If he did it while wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey, they would, like, he'd get a lifetime contract from the fans. So
no, because I think the Dawkins jersey would have made it look too pandering. This is who he is underneath it all.
Yeah.
All right, well, it is it's Senior Bowl week, And every year we do Senior Bowl Quackatology with Fran, except for last year when it got canceled because of flight snafus. But we're going to do Senior Bowl or Super Bowl Quackatology for this episode.
You didn't even get your own name right there. Superbowl.
Superbowl, yeah.
Come on, Bo. It's early.
It's early. This is not my prime time. This is, I'm the one up at 3 a.m. like Zach right now. So maybe Zach should have hosted. But
I would have loved that. Yeah.
We're going to preview this game. We've got the X's and O's Maven himself here. So we're going to talk through some of these matchups by way of Quackatology. And what we're going to do is I've got 32 things here. And Fran will be the final decider, but we can all talk him over about what is the most likely thing to happen come Super Bowl Sunday, Superb Owl Sunday. We will start, Fran, with Hassan Reddick out-sacks Chris Jones, or we see a shovel pass in the game. Now, for the record here, Chris Jones going up against this interior Eagles offensive line. The Eagles offensive line has only given up a full sack to five interior defensive linemen over the course of the entire season, including the playoffs. And nobody has had more than one. Now, they probably haven't played anybody as good as Chris Jones, as disruptive. He's very good.
And they played a JV schedule this year. Have you heard that? So,
thanks for dropping that in. And and Hassan Reddick, going up against Andrew Wiley, who I think most people would say is probably the weakest link on that Chiefs offensive line.
Now, can I ask for one piece of clarity on shovel pass? Is it a designed shovel pass play call, or is it any underhanded throw from Patrick Mahomes? Because we've seen that he will do that. He did it last week where it was an underhanded throw and a scramble drill rolling to the right.
That's a good question. I think for the purposes of this, it is a designed Andy Reid calls a shovel pass, Although it could be the Eagles call a shovel pass as an homage to Andy Reid. That is also on the table.
All right. So with that in mind, if it was all shovel passes included, I would go with that. But since we're saying a design shovel pass, which I do think there is definitely a case that that will happen, I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick outside. I mean, he has been an absolute heater, 19 and a half sacks in 19 games. And what he's done in the last half of the season, and it's continued into the playoffs, has just been outstanding. He has been a closer for this football team. He has been a guy that defensively, when they need a stop in the first half of games, opening drive of games, we've seen that in each of the first two playoff games, is, you know, the first drive, opening drive, he's able to get home for a sack and put an end to that drive for the opponent. So to me, I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick, especially when you factor in the matchup against Wiley on the right side.
What do you think, CB?
Yeah, Chris Jones is awfully good too. But I agree, Hassan Reddick has been money. And I like the way Fran framed that, because when I said that on a previous podcast, Bo said you can't exclude the first two games of the season because they actually occurred. But yeah, 19 and a half sacks in 19 games here. That shows you the level that he's playing at right now. He's you're correct about early in games. He's so tough early in games in terms of setting the tone. Now Mahomes obviously knows he's coming, but his closing speed is what jumps out to me. So I'm going with Reddick here. But the shovel pass bet, that we should probably save that for the Super Bowl, for for the next week's conversations. So
why? What do you? I don't understand.
So for a swooper.
For a swooper.
Yeah, I didn't want to. Yeah,
we got a lot. We got a lot of pods to get through next week.
So. Oh, do we ever? Yeah.
All right. Next matchup, we have Jalen Hurts sets the record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in a Super Bowl game. The record is 62, held by Colin Kaepernick. Jalen Hurts has four games this season in which he topped 62 rushing yards. He also had two other games in which he rushed for exactly 61. So he's been around that area. Or Boston Scott scores more touchdowns than Grant Calcaterra has catches.
All right, so I'm doing one piece of research here really fast, but because my gut is going to go with Jalen Hurts rushing yards breaking that record, because when I think back to his big rushing performances so far this season, a lot of them have been on the big stages. I think of the Monday night game against Minnesota. Yep, that was 57 yards. You think of the certainly in the playoff games, he's been, you know, right around 40 yards. But I think of some of the biggest games this year, that's where he's had some of his biggest rushing performances. Certainly the Green Bay Packer game, right, where he ran for almost 200 yards in that one. So I would say the Jalen Hurts breaking the record, 63 yards, does not seem out of the question for him against this defense.
Zach, what do you think?
Jalen Hurts.
You agree?
Yeah, the Boston Scott touchdown prop. I'm not engaging in that one. Jalen Hurts has a better chance of rushing.
It probably only takes one Boston Scott touchdown. He scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game.
I recognize that. I just think there's a greater probability of Jalen Hurts rushing for over 62 yards than Boston Scott scoring a touchdown.
Agree.
All right, now Zach, you can pop in here with some insight on one of these two because there's a bit of a news update angle here.
Okay.
Zach McPherson downs an Aaron Sipos punt inside the 10-yard line, or on the post-Super Bowl Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, Greg Cosell mentions that he remembers studying the Super Bowl MVP coming out of college.
Oh. All right. I think I'm going to go with the latter, and only because you know, we don't know exactly if it'll be Sipos, punting when we get to next week. So I'll play a little game theory there, and I will say
you still need it to be Sipos. You still need to punt down. You still need it to be McPherson.
Correct.
Down.
I would take Craig.
You know, if it's Devontae Smith, he'll say, "Oh, well, you know, I remember him coming out of Alabama? You saw that, you know."
Cassell all the way here. First off, the news update we should go with is that Aaron Sipos's 21-day practice window was activated yesterday, so he can return to practice. And one can say we have a good old-fashioned punting competition going into Super Bowl week here, right? I mean, Brett Kern is on the 53-man roster. Sipos is allowed to participate in practice. So may the best punter win, perhaps. We'll see what occurs there. That's the news update for the punter fanatics on here. And then this isn't a knock at Greg Cosell. I think this is the time to show your work, right? If you're doing a Super Bowl postgame show and you're talking about the Super Bowl MVP, you're not one of these Johnny come latelys who just started looking at the tape a week ago. You saw this guy, you saw Hassan Reddick at the Senior Bowl when he was playing inside linebacker, right? I mean, you saw going on down the list. You watch Dallas Goedert in those Division One AA games, or FCS, I should say, games at South Dakota State. I'm not just saying Eagles here; it could be Chiefs. You saw, Patrick Mahomes is obvious, but you watched Texas Tech against TCU and saw Patrick Mahomes throw it all over the field in Fort Worth that day. So yeah, you got to go with Cosell on this one.
Zach, quickly on the news update front, we should close the circle short term, at least on what happened with Josh Sills so far, roster-wise.
Yeah, Josh Sills is on the commissioner exempt list. We discussed in the previous pod what the indictment was there. And so by being on the commissioner's exempt list, he cannot practice or travel with the team. So he is not essentially a member of the team right now. He's on the commissioner exempt list. The Eagles have an open roster spot that they can use because of that. And so we'll see whether it's Sua Opeta, perhaps, whether, if they want that O-line depth, whether they give Anthony Harris just a spot on the 53. They have flexibility here because they have a completely healthy roster outside of
just activate Sipos and not cut Brett Kern. And then elevate Sua Opeta from the practice squad for the game if they need another offensive lineman.
They could do that. I'll just say Landon Dickerson.
Just be nice to Kern.
So the Eagles participated in a walkthrough yesterday. So it's not a full practice, but had they practiced, Landon Dickerson would not have participated because of an elbow injury and rest. Lane Johnson because of a groin injury and rest. Cam Jurgens because of a hip injury and rest. Avante Maddox because of a toe injury and rest. Robert Quinn because of a foot injury and rest. I think the two there that are most notable are Dickerson with the elbow, but we're expecting him to play. Then Cam Jurgens with the hip, because that's a newish injury. The other ones are injuries that those guys have been playing through.
All right, next up. Miles Sanders has more catches than Rihanna songs Zach can name right now. Or Andre Yoshivas in the third round.
In the third round, or at least the third round?
In the third round.
Okay. I think I got to go Andre Yoshivas in the third round.
Okay, Zach, how many Rihanna songs can you name?
So I'm embarrassed to say I can't name the name of it. Now, if you played the song, I might be able to say that's her music, but I couldn't tell you the name of a song, which is fine. I suppose I am embarrassed to say that. I know who she is.
Can you sing one right now? Like a tune?
No, I cannot.
Okay, so all it's going to take is one Miles Sanders reception. And you're still going Andre Yoshivas in the third.
I think
round.
I'm
going
to go Andre Yoshivas. I feel pretty good about him going that high.
But if he goes higher, then it doesn't hit. You think
it's
he's
true.
Gonna, you think that's more likely than Miles Sanders having a single catch?
Well, I was banking on ZB coming through for me for at least one Rihanna song.
I'm sorry. I'm not embarrassed by that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I obviously there's certainly a scenario where Miles has a catch or two. But you know, I think that's kind of the realm we're looking at there overall.
All right. Now, well, I mean, let's give the official wide receiver prospect of Birds with Friends a little bump. We're not down there, but it seems like he's making waves in Mobile.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, Bo, you've been down there so many times, and you know, like when there's clips that go viral on social media, and it's like, oh, like look at this one rep, this guy's having a great week, and I try not to put too much stock on it, not being down there. So my plan is to go through all of the practice film next week and really get a sense of it. But yeah, I saw some good flashes and some of the reps that have been floating around on Twitter. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, he came on the Journey of the Draft podcast last week, and I asked him, who's the guy that we're gonna be buzzing about next week at this time after the festivities have ended in Mobile? And he said at wide receiver it will be Andre Yoshivas. And he made the comparison that I made to the moment I watched Andre to Christian Watson from last year at North Dakota State, who was viewed as kind of like an early day three pick at that stage of the process by most people in the league, and went down there, and guys that are that big and run like that and have, you know, route running chops and have the ability to finish at the catch point like Christian Watson showed and like what Yoshivas has shown on tape. Guys like that don't last long on draft day. And so I do think he's going to go a little bit higher than people think at this point in the process.
You can tell from those clips that he's a well-coached route runner.
He's obviously extremely well-coached. We know that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right. Next up, Jalen Hurts holds the ball longer on a pass that he throws that is caught than Patrick Mahomes does on his longest pass. Now, Patrick Mahomes led the league this year, 99 attempts of 4 seconds or longer in which he held the ball. And there's a bunch that are like, you know, 8 seconds. Jalen Hurts was seventh in this category with 54. But the pass has to be caught. Now, an interception would count here, but it has to be caught by somebody. The Super Bowl broadcast mentions one of our stories.
Wow. All right. I mean, much love to Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson. Not that I think that they would shirk that at all, but I do think that it would be Jalen, getting that longest throw. I think when you look at the pass rush of the Eagles paired with the coverage on the back end, I do think that you're going to need both elements in this game. I think if you look at the two postseason games so far for the Eagles, I thought the game against the Giants, they had five sacks against Daniel Jones. I felt like a lot of them, you would point to the coverage and say that look at the back seven did, matching routes and forcing Jones to hold on to the football. Last week against San Francisco, I thought it was much more of a pressure game where the defensive line made things difficult for whoever was back there for San Francisco. I think in this game, you're not going to get all of it all the time, but I think you're going to need a mix of both there. You're going to need the coverage to be able to hold up well against Mahomes and try and confuse him best way you can. And you're going to need that rush to be able to get home faster than he has come to expect. I think when you look at Mahomes and the issues that he has had in the past, especially this season, is if you're able to heat him up with four, then that can go a long way towards success. Blitzing him does not usually result in a lot of success. Teams tried that early in the season after he was like the least blitz quarterback last year with Tyreek Hill. Team said, all right, you know what? If he doesn't have Tyreek Hill, how is he going to react when he's pressured? It still did not go well. And so he ended up being like the 29th in terms of blitz percentage quarterback here this year. But my guess is that the front four will make that a little bit more difficult. I'll go with Jalen Hurts.
Zach, you think there's any chance we get a mention?
No, but I do want to give a shout out to Burkhardt and Olson because they're such a great team.
Yep.
Kevin, so 12 years ago now, I was at the Star Ledger, and during the football, it was the lockout, so I was helping out with our baseball coverage, and I'd have to be at Mets games quite a bit. And he, at the time, what would you call the sideline reporter for baseball?
Yeah, for SNY. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but like, what's the term for side? There's no sideline in baseball. Yeah. But whatever the equivalent of a sideline reporter is, and like the nicest guy, like the nicest person. I was like a complete nobody, still am, but like he was like the nicest person. And then Greg Olson.
I was a diehard Mets fan once upon a time, and you could tell on those broadcasts that he was a star.
So I'm really happy to see his success, and Greg Olson, I learn from him every time I watch, and he's unafraid to be honest, which is important in that role. So I really like them, but yeah, I mean, anything that has to do with Patrick Mahomes, it's kind of like there's an old quote about defending Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that, you breathe into his goggles and you hope it works.
That is a good one. I don't know. I've heard that one.
I've never heard that one.
Like Mahomes is so good. And so whatever your defensive strategy is, some of it just is left up to prayer because you need to hope that he doesn't, he has just a natural talent to beat you too. So, but I don't think we are mentioned. It'd be nice if we were. That'd be some good pop for the stories.
Pretty good bump.
But I doubt that.
Okay. Next up, Dallas Goedert outgains Travis Kelce. Mm. Or Chris McPherson doesn't remember parts of the Super Bowl after party.
No, I think C-Mac will remember the Super Bowl after party. I don't think that will be an issue. So I'll go with Goddard, outpacing Travis Kelce from a yardage standpoint.
Okay. We have another Kelce one later, so I'll ask you about what you think the Eagles' plan might be. But
sure.
Okay. All right, next up. You have no comment on C-Mac's after party, Zach?
I mean, I hope C-Mac enjoys the after party no matter what, but no.
I know C-Mac's listening. I wanted to give him a little pop.
Oh, C-Mac deserves pot, but I hope he remembers it, right? If you're there, you want to remember it. So, yeah.
That's fair. All right. Jalen Hurts completes at least three passes of 20 air yards or more. We know that he was very good at this over the course of the season, but has taken a bit of a dip in the playoffs. Or there's a play in the game that Reed Blankenship makes where we can all say Reed is a mother effer, which if you watch the Devontae Smith mic'd up from the most recent game, Reed makes that forced fumble and Devontae is on the sidelines like, Reed is a mother effer. And then he tells him it to his face. So there's a Reed Blankenship mother effort play in the game, or Jalen Hurts completes at least three long passes.
You know, I think it'll be interesting in this game because, you know, when you think of Steve Spagnuolo over the course of his tenure, especially in Kansas City, the identity has been a whole lot of man coverage and a whole lot of blitz. And they've been a feast or famine defense for the majority of his time there as the defensive coordinator. So, yeah, they'd create some big plays, but they'd also give up a whole boatload of plays. Now, this year, that identity has flipped where they've played a lot more zone coverage, a lot more split safety, you know, umbrella coverage where, you know, it's, you know, kind of trending towards what everybody else in the league is playing, and they're not blitzing at nearly the same amount in terms of a percentage standpoint. So I think when you look at the way that they are playing this year, that has now resulted in them giving up less big plays. They were, you know, one of the top two or three in big plays allowed over the last two or three years. And this year, they're in the bottom quarter of the NFL in terms of explosive plays allowed. And so while we know that this Eagles offense can be really explosive downfield, I also think that the Chiefs are going to do everything in their power to keep that from happening.
They got all those rookie defensive backs.
They have a lot of rookie DBs, and they love to play aggressive press coverage still. That's the thing, is that while they are playing a lot of zone coverage, a lot of split safety, they're still leading the NFL or number two in the NFL, depending on which service you look at, in terms of press coverage percentage. So they still like to be really aggressive. They'll get up in your face. They've got a lot of size at corner, a lot of length at corner. So I think that they are going to get up and challenge Devontae Smith. They're going to challenge AJ Brown on the outside. So there's some potential there. I think that the Eagles are going to try and take their shots in this game. And we know that Jalen has plenty of faith in AJ and Devontae to go and win on the perimeter. It's about them coming through. Can they do it against some young DBs? I'm going back and forth here. Let's go with the deep shots. Let's go with Jalen on the 20 pluses.
Are you concerned at all about Jalen missing some of these shots in the last couple games?
No, not necessarily. You know, look, San Francisco last week, you know, there was the one overthrow to AJ that was, you know, it was a little too deep. It was like 5 or 6 yards deep. But there was the one to Devontae that was a really well-thrown ball that, you know, Devontae, it's a 50-50 ball, right?
and so he Devontae, said on that mic'd up that it just went through his hands.
Went right through. And so, you know, there are a couple where you're like, all right, well, that's why, you know, those are seen as lower probability type of plays. So you're not going to win all of them. And the Eagles have won a lot of them this year. No one in the NFL has more yardage on go balls than A.J. Brown. And Devontae Smith is not that far behind him. So, you know, I think when you look at their ability to attack down the field, it's certainly there. They're going to have their opportunities in this game.
It's interesting seeing this Chiefs defense. I like that point Fran just made, because you hear the term like reaction league or overreaction league or copycat league. You know, as an example, the Eagles, when they made the offensive coaching changes in 2020, a lot of it was a reaction to what San Francisco had been doing and kind of that Shanahan style of offense. Well, the Chiefs really reacted to that playoff game last year against Buffalo. And like the way their defense is now, I don't want to say it's a one-for-one reaction to it, but it you could see the way that Buffalo game affected them in terms of their offseason building approach. That's a really good point by Fran. I do want to ask Fran and the chat and Marissa here, if Reed Blankenship makes a play like that, what are the odds that Bo comes on the post-game Birds with Friends and claims that he invented Reed Blankenship, that as if the 5 years or 6 years starting at Middle Tennessee State are inapplicable?
I would say if that were an item here in Quackatology, and we'll see if it is, that would probably be in the winner circle at the end of the day.
Listen, Fran is already on the record as knowing that that my calls around training camp are as about as high a hit rate as you could possibly get. I did invent Reed Blankenship.
Just get it out of the way.
If you simply watched Middle Tennessee State football last year, you would have seen like.
Oh yeah, you would have.
Yeah,
you would have. You think he would have maybe then got more guaranteed money than 10 of the other Eagles undrafted rookies?
I think
maybe someone in the league would have drafted him if they knew he was going to be this good.
I think
let's
if you
not pretend him- like this was a fait accompli.
I mean, this is a program that you know was in the Bahamas Bowl a year ago, right? So you got to give what the Blue Raiders some credit here.
Give me a break. All right, next up, first round matchup, the final first round matchup of the left side of the bracket. Josh Sweat forces a fumble, or over the course of Super Bowl week, Bo makes a public media enemy.
Oh, Bo making a public media enemy. And it might, when do you land?
Sunday.
Sunday night.
It might happen before.
Does this
then.
Have to be a two? I don't know. Does this, do you think this has to be a two-way thing, or it's just me calling someone out or someone calling me out?
You tell me. It's your
I don't know. Yeah, it just makes a public enemy.
Yeah, it said that you make a public enemy. So you take any slight as the worst thing in the world. So I will say that is the more likely outcome.
But public means that it has to at least be mentioned on the podcast. I can't just be complaining to Zach.
I think that you have never shown that you're afraid to mention it on a podcast. So I think that'll be available.
Okay, Zach, where do you weigh in on this one?
Definitely the public enemy. I mean, there are so many stories. There are so many stories that come out next week. Invariably, one of them is going to have some type of item that you included in a story 3 years ago. and I'm going to bring it up on the pod. And you're going to like the audacity for that person to write that story that you wrote 3 years ago.
I'm going to be honest. This is going to be a tough out. I don't know what's knocking this one out.
Okay. We chose Jalen Hurts. The deep passes over Reed Blankenship the last round?
Yes.
That was the advancer? Yes. Okay. All right, next up. Patrick Mahomes completes at least 80% of his passes, which, of course, he did in the matchup last season, 24-30, which by some advanced measures was the best game of his entire career. Or an Eagles cornerback scores a touchdown.
An Eagles defensive back, you said, scores a touchdown?
I said corner. An Eagles cornerback.
Really quickly, I am just buzzing through. He has completed 80% of his passes one time this year. Obviously, there was in that game last year was an all-timer. But an Eagles corner scoring a touchdown.
Very specific.
Very specific. I'm going to go with the Eagles corner. I'm not even going to wish the former into existence.
It's such a, I mean, this is the test, right?
Yes.
Like this is, and I know that, you know, it's the best offense in football that they're going up against. So it's not like you're expecting the defense to shut them out, but the whole, like, is this defense as good as we think it is can it be good against a really good quarterback? And the bend but don't break ethos against this quarterback who has proven this year that he's willing to take that bend but don't break and then convert in the red zone. It's just, it's going to be fascinating. Go ahead, Zach.
I'm going Patrick Mahomes on this one. You know, I think part of that might be the game plan, right? You don't want to give up big plays in the Super Bowl. That sounds like an obvious statement to make, but Jonathan Gannon's philosophy is on record here, right? And 80% is a lot, but the Eagles, I made the joke earlier about the strength of schedule thing, which I think is a ridiculous argument.
I'll try to sell it this time.
Oh, but it is a valid argument, like the strength of quarterbacks they face. That is a valid argument. Now, nobody is in Patrick Mahomes' class, in my opinion, right? And that includes Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. But it is true. The Eagles saw a murderer's row of quarterbacks last year. If you were to say who's the best quarterback they faced this year, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers is up. I mean, but Aaron Rodgers didn't have the Aaron Rodgers season of past years. So this is not the, you know, you put Kyler Murray up there, but like, this is not that group. Kyler Murray played decently against them. But this is not the group of quarterbacks that they faced a year ago. So I think that is a question here is, how does this defense look against Patrick Mahomes? But you can say that about any defense in the NFL. And I should say this now. I'm not like defending Jonathan Gannon here. If Patrick Mahomes has a big game, it's not because of Jonathan Gannon's defense. It's because of Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but if he completes 95% of his passes,
well, sure.
There are varying degrees.
I thought 80 was the number, right?
It is, but I'm just saying that's why, you know, there's a sliding scale here. Marissa, you get to break the tie.
I'm going to go Mahomes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think that's
the right answer. This has been the hardest one.
And it's good that the train doesn't have to go on.
A cornerback scoring a touchdown, that doesn't happen very often. So
yeah. That's like a Zach Swooper.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that Don't you think that corners score more defensive touchdowns than any other position? So if there's going to be a defensive touchdown, it's probably most likely to be
probably because they're faster. That is true. But pick sixes, yeah. If you pick up a I think it's easier to score. And I don't have the data here. I'd be curious the data. I think it's easier to score in a fumble recovery than an interception. You just have more people to in your way in an interception. A fumble.
Yeah, but
recovery,
you get the ball. But in an interception, you get the ball while you're moving. You don't have to scoop.
True,
it up.
But fumble recoveries that are returned for touchdowns are usually quarterback fumbles when yeah. there's nobody in That's your true. Way. So, but I would be interested in the data here. Yeah, what scores a touchdown more, a fumble recovery or an interception?
Okay,
there are more interceptions than fumble recoveries, but
there are.
Yeah,
and if it's a fumble, like the recovery itself is like there's a survivorship bias to that, right? Like if you recover it, that means that you've got the ball as opposed to
yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next up, AJ Brown scores a touchdown with a Chiefs defender on the ground, meaning that like, you know, he ran the guy over basically on his way to the end zone, like a real man's play, or Cam Jurgens is involved in a trick play.
I'm going to go AJ Brown. Does that count like a jump ball, like where he, you know, in the end zone where the defender falls down trying to cover AJ?
No, the player is on the ground in the field of play.
So it's like Tennessee Titans. He runs through the guy on his way to the end zone. I'll still go AJ. I think that
he has not had a real big playoff moment.
He hasn't yet. They haven't needed it yet. Right. Yeah. I think in this game you're going to see those guys put in position to really stand out. I think when you look at Jalen, you look at AJ, you look at Devontae, those three guys. When it comes to big games, big moments, I think that all three of those guys are going to be ready for the spotlight. So I'll go with AJ there.
I'm in agreement, AJ.
Okay. Next up, the Eagles pass the ball 2/3 of the time in the first half and then run the ball more than half the time in the second half. So that, you know, pass to get ahead, run to win.
Run to win, yep.
Formula they like. Or Travis Kelce is double teamed on most of the Chiefs' third downs.
Most.
So over 50%.
Yeah, over 50%. I would say it's going to be the first option. and I would say that would likely equate to an Eagles victory because that's a formula you would like to follow when the game script is working in your favor and you've got leads and things like that. So that would be a good sign. I think that, you know, double teams are to say like, okay, it's a designated double team,
right?
Happens a lot less than people think. And the Eagles will do that. I think that there are going to be times in this game where you'll certainly see that. We've seen them do it against Justin Jefferson, against CeeDee Lamb, against a lot of the top pass targets that they've seen over the course of this season, especially on third down. So I think you will see that in this game. Will it happen 7 times? Will it happen 6 times, 5 times? I don't know. But that's one of the reasons why you like playing, some of those split safety looks and some of those quarters looks as well, which we've seen from the Eagles on third down, is that, you know, in those situations, you typically are playing like 3 DBs over 2 receivers, 4 DBs over 3 receivers. And so while it's not a double team, you do have an extra set of eyeballs there. So I do think that that's probably the more likely or less likely outcome is the double teams.
Who do you think is their best matchup for Kelce?
It's a good question. I mean, the thing with Kelce is that they do a great job formationally and from a route distribution standpoint of creating space for him. And so many of his catches, I actually did this as a project for the podcast like 2 years ago. It was right after, it was like the week before Nick Sirianni got hired. I remember the Chiefs were getting ready to play the Bucks in the Super Bowl and just went back and watched all of Travis Kelce's targets and was just astonished at how many of them happened when he was wide open. And it's like, how could you leave this guy wide open time after time? And it's just because when you're playing zone coverage, they do a great job of manipulating those zones and getting him into the soft spot. And so, I do think that when you look at just playing, say, hey, you know what, we're going to play straight man-to-man. He's a tough matchup because of his athleticism, but he doesn't have like the speed I think a lot of people think. He's more of a short and intermediate target at this point in his career for Patrick Mahomes. So he's been a volume hog and has gotten a lot of targets. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had 8, 9, 10 catches in this game.
That's how some people describe me on the show, as a volume hog.
I would never
you don't say,
say. That. Yeah, right. But CB might, yeah. Who's the best matchup? That's tough, man.
Zach refers to me in his text with Emily. He's like, gotta go in with the volume hog.
Not... He abbreviates it when he's next to VH, you. VH, yeah. Vampire Complex.
Yeah. VH. Very handsome, huh? You go with the same one here, Zach?
Yeah, far be
the formula to win.
Yeah, far be for me to disagree with Fran. Fran knows his stuff here. So
okay. All right, next up, Brandon Graham has a game-winning sack or Tom Brady unretires?
Let's go with Brandon Graham, game-winning sack. I do find it hard to believe that that he would unretire again. I think it's – what do you really think that we see him in the booth on the broadcast on Sunday?
Mm.
I heard that's not going to happen, but okay. I mean, that would be a treat for listeners. But
you just said that Olsen and Burkhardt are the best. Yeah. You're going to take away their shine and give them a treat of Brady. Like
I think Brady's going to be so. I think Brady's going to be so good in the booth.
I
agree.
Yeah. And by the way, like shout out to Tom Brady. You know, this guy deserves some recognition.
A little bit more love.
Yeah. Bo, I think we need to.
No, yeah, he hasn't got enough adulation. He needs it from Birds with Friends.
What would it take for you to see the 80 for Brady movie in Phoenix? Okay, what would need to occur for you to go and see the 80 for Brady movie?
I don't know. That could be a good bit.
I think if you lose the lead in Swooper and you end up losing, that should be the
It could be a good Super Bowl week story.
Yeah.
Like take a bunch of mushrooms and go watch.
I mean
80 for Brady.
I don't know what the mushrooms
experiential journalism
content is a reference to, but I think
maybe drink a swimming pool's worth of water. and then go watch 80 for Brady.
If you drank more
see
water,
how long
you
can make it through without peeing yourself.
You'd feel so much better. I promise you.
Fran, how much water do you drink?
I don't have my. I actually thought it as I was walking into the building that I should make sure I bring my my jug. I've got one of the big jugs.
There you go.
I just completely forgot to.
Bo's such a contrarian that he fights against hydration.
No, I don't fight against hydration. I'm not saying don't drink water. I'm saying don't follow. Like fake science hucksters and change and rearrange your life to do something that is more than necessary.
This is such an odd take. You're drinking water.
It's not an odd take.
From
there's
a water
science
bottle,
behind
which
it
is environmentally sound, by the way. Okay. And you're like, don't drink so much water.
Don't just blindly follow people who tell you things that are not evidence backed. Okay. All right. Next up, Andy Reid mentions a food item on the podium after the game, or Nick Sirianni after the game mentions Andy Reid not hiring him in Kansas City as a slight that served as motivation.
I don't think that Nick Sirianni would say that post game. But I also don't think if the Chiefs lose that Andy Reid would refer to a food item.
Right. That takes the Chiefs winning.
Yeah. So, but I really don't think, regardless of outcome, that Nick would say that. So I'll go with Andy Reid there.
I don't know if Nick's. I don't know if Nick feels slighted about that because.
Okay. Well, that's. You're the one who just wrote the story on his time in Kansas City. This is a tee up to you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I wrote about his 4 years in Kansas City, which impacted him as much professionally. I'm sorry, personally as professionally. He met his wife there, that's how he broke into the NFL. So you have details there about how he broke in, about the time.
The story Zach's been waiting to write about how they met.
Well,
you dropped the hints on this one 2 years ago.
Yeah, but this isn't the story I've been waiting to write because once it got out there, you had to go with it. You couldn't sit on it until next week. But there are more details there I could have included, but in fear of a restraining order, did not. that's a joke, by the way. That's a joke. If Nick did not go to the Chargers, he would not have been connected with Frank Reich. Okay. And who knows how his career would have gone thereafter. So
or Shane
Spikeman. I don't believe everything's meant to be, but it certainly is his career. He was a head coach at 39. So his career worked out quite well.
It doesn't mean you yeah. forget the slights.
Yeah. The only thing is, yeah, but so he had to move to San Diego at the time, but his wife's family is from the Missouri area. So you are moving from Kansas City. San Diego is a good place to go. So yeah, no, I think it worked out. And I think he grew professionally. Now he would have grown professionally being under Andy Reid, but he grew professionally. So Andy Reid had to bring in David Coley. That's essentially what happened.
All right. Next up, Kadarius Toney outgains Devontae Smith. Of course, you had the Giants back in the day trading out because the Eagles went up to get Devontae Smith and they end up with Kadarius Toney. Or I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jason Kelce's wife is very pregnant. And so she's bringing her OB to the game, Jason said on the podcast this week. So the item here is the Kelce child has the same first letter or it rhymes with the name of Marissa's child whenever that baby is born.
That's like really tough.
Pressure's going to be on for you to now name a child with a rhyming name of like,
I know. I was actually just thinking Francis. Like, I think that baby has to have some sort of Super Bowl ish name or Philly or something, you know.
Who was the player last year? Van Jefferson rushed to the hospital after the game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Kelce baby the more likely scenario. I don't think Kadarius Toney will have more yardage than Devontae.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Bo, I've been spending so much time in these past 6 days thinking about this football game, and I have not for a minute thought what Jason would name his child. So there's no insight I can provide to help you here.
About the other item then? How likely do you think that is? Well, that's how you can base it.
Well, Toney might not play, right? He's banged up. I mean, Hardman's not playing. And we don't know, or it doesn't look like Hardman's going to play. And then we don't know yet about Toney. I mean, look, Devontae Smith, first game of the season, was held without a catch. It's not implausible. And Toney's one of these guys who like could bust out. So it's certainly not implausible for Kadarius Toney to outgain Devontae Smith. And without having any insight on what Jason's going to name his child, I guess I will go with Toney.
Marissa, you break the tie then.
I mean, this is a tough one. Sure, why not? Let's go with the baby. That would be more fun.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, two more in the first round.
We got to get to a break, by the way.
I know. Okay. We'll go to the break after this. After these last two. Milton Williams is involved in a turnover. Or the Eagles play a season-high number of snaps of cover two Buster.
Let's go Milton Williams. It's not even like down the stretch. I would say like the second half of the season, maybe around like the 1/3 poll of the year. You could see that he just had a little bit more pep to his step. I don't know if he was fighting through an injury or what to start the season, but Milton has been awesome.
Good.
Yeah, he's looked really, really good. And it's getting kind of lost in the weeds a little bit just because of the depth along that defensive front. But even early in games, I mean, against San Francisco, he was out there opening drive and chasing plays down to the perimeter. He's been really disruptive against both the run and the pass. I'm going to go Milton Williams here.
I agree. And Louisiana Tech just signed their best signing class or their best class ever. So perhaps Milton Williams' success has something to do with it.
Perhaps. Last one. Someone on the Chiefs defense other than Chris Jones wrecks the game. Or Blake Bell has more targets than former Eagles on the Chiefs roster that Zach can name right now.
So hold on. Like, what's more likely? Like, I think Zach can name a lot of former Eagles on the Chiefs roster right now. So Blake Bell would not have more catches than that. So I wouldn't want to pick that. So I'm going to go with the first option.
Okay. Zach?
Are we talking like players or coaches?
No, players. The doesn't have to be the active roster. But the player roster, how many former Eagles can you name right this second?
Well, Prince Tega Winoga, right?
That's one.
I'm trying to think of the active roster. Who am I missing here?
Training camp storyline there, Zach. From this summer.
What am I? I mean, I feel embarrassed here to.
I'm going to be honest with you, Zach. These are it's tough. I believe
it's a tough one.
I believe there are only three.
Okay. So yeah, I'm trying to think what I'm missing here.
Blake Bell has three catches on the season. However, in the playoffs, he has four catches. He's become and Fran, you will remember Blake Bell liked him at the Shrine Bowl.
Of course he did. Right. You basically invented the Belldozer.
That's right.
He was a huge recruit, by the way.
Yeah, but he was converting from quarterback to
tight end. Yeah, but
I thought he looked athletic.
I'm trying to think here.
All right. Blake Bell's going to only need two targets.
The Eagles traded for him, Zach.
The Eagles traded for him.
Traded for this player who is now on the Chiefs.
Less that they traded for him and more that they traded away someone else and got him in return.
Sure.
Hugo Amadi.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go. Yeah,
and the other
JJ,
one,
I think a Whiteside trade.
There's one more.
On the active?
This is an active roster player. This is James Winchester.
Wow.
Okay, the long snapper. Yeah. Wow.
Jimmy Winchester. Fran, before we go to break, who would be the likeliest Chiefs player on defense to wreck a game if it's not Chris Jones? Who would you be second most scared about?
To wreck the game, I would say it's probably Frank Clark, just because of the pedigree, what he's done over the course of his career in big moments. He's been a little bit more of a streaky player over the last year or so, but we know, like, if he can turn it on, he's got that ability to kind of take over and win some of those matchups. Going off the left side against Jordan Mailata, that would be a matchup to watch.
So their defense is kind of like the 2022 offseason alternative for the Eagles, right? How many mock drafts this time last year had Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis?
I had an item in here originally that Zach calls Ryan Kerrigan this week for insight on George Karlaftis. But.
and how many like free agent projections had them going after Justin Reed, right? Yep. So there's an alternative offseason last year where three Chiefs starters would be Eagles starters.
And of course, we'll go Amadi.
That's right.
Of course.
All right, let's go to break. We'll come back and we will bang through the rest of this draft.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army Knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Welcome back to Burns with Friends. Bo, Zach, Marissa, Fran Duffy. We're going to bang through now the rest of superb owl quackatology. Marissa's got breakfast to get to. Fran's got a podcast with Dane Brugler. Zach's probably got a radio hit we don't know about yet. So let's get this done. All right. Hassan Reddick outsacks Chris Jones or Jalen Hurts sets the quarterback rushing record?
Jalen Hurts quarterback rushing record. Chris Jones being a great player is what equalizes that one for me.
You agree, Zach?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Greg Cosell mentions on the Eagle Eye in the Sky post-Super Bowl pod that he remembers studying the Super Bowl MVP coming out of college, or Andre Yoshivas goes in the third round.
I'm going to go with Greg Cosell. I agree. I think the way Zach put it earlier was best in terms of we can expect that will happen.
I feel like unless it's Patrick Mahomes, it's almost a guarantee. Like Patrick Mahomes, it would be like there's so much other stuff to talk about that you might not even talk about. Although he might still say, but you know, he didn't have that when he came out of Texas Tech. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, we will get into it with Fran closer to April, but this receiver class is not nearly as strong as some of the draft classes of the past 2-3 years. But I think the like second, third round is the sweet spot for receivers this year. Whereas in past years, you'd say the first round, second round. So I'm curious to see where Yoshivas falls in that pecking order.
Jalen Hurts holds the ball longer on his longest held ball completion or interception than Patrick Mahomes does, or Dallas Goedert outgains Travis Kelce.
I think I'm going to go with the Jalen Hurts one there. That's a tough one. That's a really that's the tightest one so far.
Zach?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Jalen Hurts completes at least 3 passes of 20 air yards or more, or Bo makes a public media enemy.
The Chiefs have done a really good job of preventing explosives, and it's almost a near certainty that you're going to make an enemy in the next few days. So I'm going to go with you making a public enemy.
Bo making a public enemy.
Wow. Zach definitely has a radio hit because he's just agreeing with every single one.
No, I have a 10-15, so I have more time than you do. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes completes at least 80% of his passes, or A.J. Brown scores a touchdown with a Chiefs defender on the ground.
Let's go with the A.J. Brown. How did you describe it? A real man's play.
A man's play.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means. You'd have to clarify the definition.
He's running over a guy.
Cooper call, but yeah, we'll go with A.J. Brown.
80% is hard to hit, and A.J., a lot of his touchdowns, you see someone on the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think I might have gone with the Mahomes one there, but that's all right. The Eagles follow the script of passing 2/3 of the time in the first half and then rushing over 50% of the time in the second half, or Brandon Graham has a game-winning sack?
Brandon Graham having a game-winning sack is a very, again, that's like a tight needle to thread there. But I also think that it's, you know, while that is obviously it's a winning formula in terms of like the throw to score, run to win, template that we've seen from the Eagles in this game against this Chiefs offense, that might be a tough hurdle to climb. So I'm actually gonna go with BG there. BG coming up big late in the game.
I'm disagreeing here. I think if they win, the formula is what they go with, and a Brandon Graham game winning sack. I know Shiel is legendary in Birds with Friends lore for that, but I don't know if I would necessarily. I think it's more likely that they win based on the formula.
How would you, Fran, the Chiefs rush defense, where are they vulnerable? How would you, what kind of stuff would you expect to see from the Stoutland run plan?
Yeah, I think when you look at, the way the Chiefs play up front, this is a group that is still going to pin their ears back and get upfield. They've got some guys up front. You know, Derek Nnadi is a really good run defender. He's really stout on the inside. I'm not going to be able to provide the intricate analysis that I'm hoping to hear from Michael Dunn next week, Marissa. But I think that ultimately, when you look at this Chiefs run defense, you can get the edge on them. And I do think that's something we'll potentially see here from the Eagles in this game as well.
Dynamite just... like lightning analysis. Fantastic.
Yeah. That's you can only get it here and on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast.
That's why you're the best. We need to break that tie. I'll go with the formula and not the Brandon Graham. You know what? I'll go with the Brandon Graham sack. Screw that. Fun to root for. Andy Reid mentions a food item on the podium, or the Kelce baby, same letter, or rhymes with Marissa's baby.
You knew these two would make it to this round.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the baby. We're going to keep the baby one going here.
Zach? I guess baby. Yeah, I have no opinion on this one here. Yes.
All right. This Milton Williams is involved in a turnover, or Blake Bell has more targets than more than one target.
More than one target. More than one target, not more than one catch. I'm gonna go Milton Williams.
Yeah, give Milton his due.
Yeah. Okay.
We move to the quarterfinals. Jalen Hurts sets the quarterback rushing record, or Greg Cosell mentions studying the Super Bowl MVP in college.
Well, if Jalen Hurts sets the rushing record, he might be up for MVP, in which case Greg will almost certainly talk about him in the postgame pod as having watched him in Alabama and Oklahoma. So I will go with Greg Cosell.
I'm going Greg Cosell here too, but that is a low rushing record. I would expect the rushing record to be a little higher than that.
Jalen Hurts holds the ball longer on his longest held ball, or Bo makes a public media enemy.
Bo makes the public media enemy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
AJ Brown scores a man's touchdown, or Brandon Graham game winning sack.
Because of the specificity of the game winning game winning sack, I'm going to go with the AJ Brown touchdown.
Although the man's touchdown is very specific, is very specific as well. So,
but it could happen at any point in the game. Yeah. It could happen on the first play or the 48th.
True. What do you go for, Zach?
I'm going with the AJ Brown here, but if left up to Bo as the judge, I think the man's touchdown is one that can be disputed.
Jason Kelce baby thing with Marissa, or Milton Williams is involved in a turnover.
I'm going to take some of the heat off Marissa here since she's involved with this one. I'm going to go with Milton Williams.
Yeah, Zach. Milton Williams. Yeah.
Okay. The final four. Greg Cosell, Super Bowl MVP. Watched him in college. Remember, here's the thing. I remember TJ Edwards coming out of Wisconsin. He didn't quite have that in him. Or Bo makes a public media enemy.
Man, this is where the
this is great seating by whoever decides the bracket.
Bo's picking the public media enemy.
I think it's got to be that, right?
Yeah, you can't get all these reporters in one place without Bo.
What are the chances he does not have a grouse by Monday's pod?
Right after spending all that time at Radio Row, especially.
Exactly. Yeah. Bo's trying to get a question in, and somebody else asks a question. Like
I'm such a happy-go-lucky guy. I don't
know. That was not even on the board right now.
I'm going to be in a great mood all week.
He's trying to find a tennis partner out in the desert.
I actually believe that I may have a line on that.
Look at that. You and John Clark?
No.
No, John Clark.
So we're going the media enemy?
Yeah, we're going media enemy.
Okay. AJ Brown, man touchdown, or Milton Williams turnover?
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown. Yeah.
Wow. All right. And this is it, the finals of superb owl quackatology. AJ Brown scores a touchdown with a Chiefs defender lying prone on the ground, or Bo makes a public media enemy.
I think we're going to have to go with Bo makes a public media enemy.
Wow.
I'm going to have to win.
So now I have to, like, it's in my power to not make any enemies next week just to prove everybody wrong.
Well, that's the thing, is that you are going to be – it's two very conflicting things for you, is that the you embracing an enemy is so, like, ingrained inside you, but also you wanting to prove us wrong. Yes. It's I don't know who's going to win that battle.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like, the perfect storm here. There's so many factors in place for Bo to make the media enemy. All the media converged in one place. Bo covering the team that's in the Super Bowl. Bo having daily pods to come up with content here, right? There's like, this is going to happen. Yeah. The only question, like Fran said, is by when? Like Monday's podcast?
Maybe Monday's podcast will be a quackatology of 64 different media members, and we can figure out who the most likely enemy will be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations to me on winning Superb Owl Quackatology. Fran, a delight as always. Thank you for joining us. What do you have cooking coming up next week for people to follow?
Well, we've got a couple Eagle Eye in the Sky podcasts coming. So we'll be covering the matchup from as many sides as possible, talking with people that are both Chiefs-related and Eagles-related. Hopefully we'll hear one of your voices on that podcast next week. And then also the Journey of the Draft podcast, the Eagles while they are vying for a Super Bowl next week, also have the 10th overall pick. So talking through all of that, who could be the names involved there at number 10 or hopefully at number 31. We're covering that over on the Journey of the Draft podcast.
Fran, give Bo 30 seconds on why Darnell Washington is such an intriguing prospect, because Bo kind of scoffed at this when I brought it up.
Why is he 45 years old?
Yeah, he's a very large tight end who's a great blocker and has some athletic traits. He's Dak's kind of player, for sure. He's Dak's kind of player. He might be an offensive tackle when it's all said and done. I have not done the deep dive on him yet here, Zach.
Okay.
Just because I was focused on Senior Bowl players, for the most part. So now that we're gearing up for the combine, I'll be doing the juniors a little bit more in depth.
You can't teach it. You can't teach 6'7", 270. Trust me on that one.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back on Monday for the start of Superb Owl Week. And until then, enjoy your weekend. Follow Fran at Eagles XOs on Twitter. Check out Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Scroll through old Twitter tweets to look for pictures of his thighs. And enjoy your weekend. So.
And congratulations to Tom Brady on a great career. That's important to mention as well.
I think Bo just found his public media enemy.
Yeah. That's a drop.
Hold on 1 second. Okay, all right. So for Zach and Marissa and Fran and Bridget Moynihan, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week. And as always, we love you.